Well, I am seriously contemplating getting back together with my old boyfriend. And I think some of you know him, Paul Bunyan. Now, Paul and I go way back. We met when I was in elementary school, and you know I had such a crush on him. But you know what it's like. Years pass, you get out of touch. It wasn't until I had my midlife crisis that Paul came back into my life. Now, I had a pretty mild midlife crisis. I didn't buy a new sports car. I didn't get a facelift. I just took a sabbatical from my library job and took a storytelling class. And that's how Paul and I were reunited. And then I moved to Minnesota. And, well, we really took off after that. Oh, Paul. I mean, he's not just good looking. He is strong, he's competent, he's a smart problem solver. You know, his employees like and respect him, and he is so loving and gentle with that baby blue ox. And he's tall. Oh, all my life I have been searching for a good, tall man. But you know, I heard some rumors about him. And I bet you, up here in northern Minnesota, already knew this. The gossip is true. He was in cahoots with the lumber barons. All those stories about him I thought were true. I pictured those old-time lumberjacks sitting around in the bunkhouse by the flickering light of the kerosene lantern, you know, smoking their pipes and mending their wool socks and telling those stories to each other, a little bit exaggerated, about some real logger they knew who could chop a little faster and saw a little longer. Well, I guess there's a kernel of truth in that. But the Paul Bunyan that I gave my heart to, you know, the one who towers over the trees and straightens the Mississippi River with his superhuman strength, the Paul whose footsteps made the 10,000 lakes, he was completely invented in the advertising department of the Red River Lumber Company. And why? Just to put a friendly face on the destruction of America's vast virgin forests. You know, the stories about him, they gloss over the displacement of indigenous people, they gloss over the ecological destruction that was caused by a century of clear cutting. So, when I learned all that, I broke up with him. But I tell you, Paul's a hard guy to quit. I mean, he's so tall. And you know, maybe it's not his fault. I mean, maybe they just took advantage of his good nature. Now, okay, there are other giants out there. Paul's not the only fish in the sea. But if you look around, most of those other giants, they're not very nice. I mean, think about that. Fee, fi, fo, fum guy up there in the clouds, and when Jack chops down the beanstalk and he falls to earth and dies, we're all pretty happy. And when David topples the Goliath, yay, we're gonna cheer. Because, well, I haven't done all my research, but I challenge you to find the good giants. I mean, by and large, they are bad guys. And here's another challenge for you. Find the female giants. You won't find very many. Oh, there's a few here and there in the myths, but they're not very important. Now, there is some evidence that Paul had a woman in his life before he met me. But I'll tell you, she is so secondary in all of that fake lore that when she is referred to at all, she usually doesn't even have a name. It's just Mrs. Bunyan, or Paul's sweetheart. And I know some of you are gonna object. You're gonna say, oh, she's got a name, it's Lucette. Lucette Diana Kensack. And you know, I've seen that statue. That 17-foot tall pretty woman over there in Hackensack. And if you don't already know this, I'm going to tell you that that statue went up in the 1950s, And after the statue went up, they held a public contest to give her a name. So don't tell me that these women in the Paul Bunyan stories, when they do appear, aren't just an afterthought. I did find a few stories, just a handful, published before the statue was erected. And in a couple of them, she does have a name, Carrie. But then in another one, it's Minnie. And in another one, it's Sylvia. Yeah. So by now you're saying, why is that woman up there behind the mic so obsessed with giants? And I think it should be obvious. I'm a tall woman. For the record, I'm 5'9". But I used to be 5'10". And I'm shrinking. You know, when I go to the doctor's office for my annual checkup, well, I think most women my age dread the scales. But for me, it's the height measurement. I go in there, I straighten my spine. I try to envision my head lifting to the ceiling. And if the nurse wasn't looking, I would go up on tiptoes. But it doesn't matter. Every time, I lose another fraction of an inch. My only consolation is that I am still taller than the average American woman, who is 5'4". I was 5'4" before junior high. Now, from my perspective as an old lady, I can say that being tall all my life has been a mixed blessing. But when I was a kid, I hated it. I was taller from preschool through senior high, always the tallest girl in my class and taller than most of the boys. I was always in the back row of the school pictures. I was always at the far end of the line when we lined up in gym class. And of course, I got teased about it. So I'll just tell you one story from my childhood, the kinds of things you have to deal with if you're unusually tall, as a girl anyway. I went to the Saturday afternoon movie at the Palace Theater in downtown with my friends, and one by one they made their way to the front of the line and slipped their quarter to the ticket seller and went into the theater. And I got up to the front of the line, and I slipped my quarter there, and the ticket seller said, it's 50 cents for adults. I said, I'm not an adult. And he said, oh, yeah? It's 50 cents. Well, I don't remember, honestly, if I had another quarter and paid the adult price, or I didn't and I went home that day, but I do remember how humiliated I felt. And I told my dad what had happened. My dad, like Paul Bunyan, is a smart problem solver. And he took me down to the county courthouse and got me a certified, notarized copy of my birth certificate. So the next time I went to the movies on a Saturday afternoon downtown with my friends, and I slipped my quarter to the ticket seller, and he looked me up and down and said, sorry, you're an adult, 50 cents. I pulled out that legal document, I held it up to the window, and I said, this is a certified notarized copy of my birth certificate, and you will see here that I was born on August 5th, 1950, and I am 11 years old. And of course, he was dumbfounded, and I got in to see the show. But you know, a child should not have to behave like an adult, a nerdy adult, in order to get in to see a movie. And when I look back at it, I think a lot of the adults around me, not just the strangers, but my parents and teachers, expected me to behave older than my years simply because I was big for my age. A girl my size wouldn't have a meltdown. I wouldn't whine if I couldn't get my way. And I think in some ways it's hard to define. I missed out on some parts of being a kid just because I was tall. Well, teenage years weren't much better. You know, I didn't have a chance to play the female lead in the school play because I was taller than all the boys in the drama club. And dating? Forget it. All the boys flocked to the cute girls, and cute was pretty much synonymous with petite. Cute was an impossible dream for me. I did my best to disguise my height. I slouched. Everybody slouched, though. And I was sort of happy when the hippie styles came in, because underneath those granny skirts, I could bend my knees and lose an inch or two. Fashion was always a challenge. I sewed most of my own clothes because the clothes off the rack didn't fit. I bought those Simplicity and Butterick patterns and then cut across the leg and added 2 or 3 inches to my bell bottoms. And shoes, nothing but flats, only flats. I wore silver-toned flat Mary Janes to my senior prom. But eventually, I grew up. I began to make peace with my body. I began to feel proud of who I was. And ironically, it was shoes that symbolized that shift. Now, in my 20s, I embraced the women's liberation movement. And for the next decade or so, I read everything I could get my hands on, book after book after article after book, that talked about how the patriarchy constrained women's roles and our opportunities and our appearances. So I can't tell you what it was with all those ideas simmering around in my head that finally triggered me on that day in my mid-30s to walk into a shoe store and come out with a pair of high heels. Now, this is at a time when all my friends were ditching their heels and wearing Birkenstocks to work to make a statement. But when I put those heels on, and let me tell you, they were only like 2 inches, very conservative black pumps to wear to work. But I strode down the corridor in those, and I had never felt more confident, more feminine, and more free. And now I'm shrinking. And, you know, I don't like it. And I go to see my mother-in-law, who's in an assisted living place, and if she makes it, and I think she will, she's going to be 100 in April. And she is so tiny now. She's shrunken and bent over. She's barely 4 foot tall. And the nurse where she lives says, oh, she's a peanut. And the staff say, oh, she's just the cutest little thing. And I don't want to be a peanut. Once upon a time, I wanted to be cute more than anything else, but that's not what I want now. I want to stay tall. So anyway, I think that's the real reason I want to get back together with Paul. I am going to shrink. I'm going to keep shrinking. But Paul, with Paul, I could have height by association, because he will always be mighty and tall. Thank you.